Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 55. Endgame. For once, time was not on Echo's side. His firelights were the smallest of the elites that came in, only volunteers, and only those who knew and accepted that there was a halfway decent chance none of them would be coming back. The flip side of that was that each of his boys and girls got outfitted with one of Victor's new exoframes. They were still prototypes, and there weren't enough to equip an entire contingent yet, but the whole idea behind the construction was to put an average soldier roughly on par with the Pilty's blackguard monstrosities. Realistically, that wasn't exactly the case. Echo spun time back as he watched one of his people get cored by a blackguard, rewinding the death and pulling them back to their starting position halfway down the hall on their way to the Panopticon. "Couch around to the corner on my mark," Echo snarled. And there was a chorus of eyes while the good professor just palmed out a pair of his devilishly effective Hextech grenades. Echo counted down. 3, 2, 1. "Mark!" Heimerdinger sent his grenades spinning down the hall to clatter off of the floor and roll right between the legs of a blackguard as it stepped out and took aim with a long, heavy Hextech rifle that it would never get to fire. The grenades exploded in twin flashes of azure lightning, playing merry havoc with whatever internal Hextech augmatics made up the blackguard's insides. Echo didn't give the blackguards time to recover. He charged in, leading his firelights from the front as they bore down on the staggered cybernetic horrors that Camille had turned her men into. Servo-powered limbs drove heavy reinforced cudgels, and their raw strength, multiplied by the force of the machine herald's genius, saw the blackguards practically hacked to pieces before they could recover enough to get another shot off. It felt like every corner of this level was guarded by the Chandra's most elite. And Echo hoped that meant there were fewer for Vi and Kate to deal with.
"This is quite the tough nut,"
Heimerdinger remarked as he picked his way over the dead blackguard.
"The command point must be close."
Echo nodded as he pried a cudgel out of a blackguard's chest cavity and shouldered it.
"Yeah, but still, there's not as many as I thought there'd be."
"The clan is scattered across Piltover, tying up Camille's loose ends,"
Heimerdinger replied as they fell back into order and started moving down the hall towards where the blueprints said the old Panopticon was.
"How much you want to bet she sent more than a few of her elites into Zorn looking for us?"
Heimerdinger chuckled.
"Ah, well, no bet, as they say," he replied.
For all her genius, Camille routinely underestimated Zorn, but then that was normal. Echo was convinced that you couldn't be from Piltover and not underestimate Zorn. It was like it was baked into them or something. For 2 centuries, the Undercity was firmly under the collective boot of the Great Houses, and everyone topside had had a lot of time to get used to that. Conversely, they hadn't had more than a decade to get used to Zorn being its own nation, so a lot of the old prejudices were still firmly entrenched. Prior to war, that had been obnoxious. During the war, it had been oddly convenient. In an effort to ensure her dominance after what Camille certainly must have thought was her certain victory, she had seemingly deployed the majority of her forces around Piltover and Zorn to wipe out anything that could threaten her coming regime. In spite of what Jace had claimed, that she had no intention to rule, the fact was that if she won, she'd basically be a demigod. So even if she wasn't wearing the crown, she would be the one in charge. Echo held up a fist, calling for a slow halt as they approached another corner. Then nodded down to Heimerdinger, who pulled out another grenade and sent it rolling down and around the corner.
"Nice toss."
"All in the wrist, my boy."
The hallway lit blue with arcing bolts of energy, and Echo flicked a finger forward, giving the silent order to charge. His firelights obeyed with quick, disciplined ease, bolting down the hall, carried on their exo-powered legs, and Echo moved in behind them. He hated not fighting from the front, but Renata had pounded it into his head before the fight that this was not a battle that could afford morals. If his people died, he could rewind time and fix it. If he got domed by a lucky shot, everyone was fucked.
"Instead of whining, boy, consider yourself lucky that your sacrifices are reversible and make use of it,"
she had said before they'd left the Leviathan, and she was right.
"Eyes up, heads on a swivel,"
Echo said as they directed them forward, letting them move at a quick dip down the hall past him.
"I don't want anything crawling up our asses."
There was a general murmur of assent as they passed by, but like him, kept their voices low. These weren't new blunts. Most of them were around his age. These 10 with him had been there since the beginning. Back when he started his war against Silco and the Chem Barons, when Jinx had been their worst enemy, responsible for an entire mural's worth of deaths, and Piltover's corruption had still been well hidden beneath a veneer of gold and Sheriff Marcus's false smiles. They'd been through everything and come out scarred, but alive. He intended to make sure they'd stay that way. They moved with the quiet capability you might expect of folks who'd grown up in trenches and tunnels, softening their footsteps and keeping their profiles narrow as they moved down the now-empty halls of Stillwater. They were getting close. They had to be. They'd just fought through a small army of Khadra backed up by those blackguard assholes, but the place was as much a maze as Zaun. There was no time to get lost, though. Every second was another second given over to Camille and 1 second less that Sarah had on her clock. Chances were good that there was blockade security on both the lower and upper levels that no amount of handheld firepower would be able to get through, so both Jinx and Vi were counting on his crew to make those barriers disappear. A flicker of hand signals suddenly came down the line, and Echo scowled as he translated it. No enemies. Blocked passage. Pushing his way forward, Echo came to the front and found the heaviest blast door he'd ever seen filling the space in front of him.
"I do believe we've found the command point,"
Heimerdinger said dryly as he toddled out from between a few of the firelights.
"Yeah," Echo replied drolly. "You think?"
Heimerdinger nodded as he approached the door, tugged off his gloves, and splayed his furry fingers before laying them on the armored plates in front of him. He made thoughtful noises as he walked back and forth, dragging his hand along the door, occasionally rapping a knuckle against the metal, before finally stepping back and saying,
"Well, it's quite good. I'll give them that. This metal is alloyed and layered to absorb a lot of impact, and it's treated with something that I assume is a petricite composite, since I don't recognize it, and there's very little in this world I do not recognize."
"Don't tell me we have to go back and get some bombs from Ziggs," Echo muttered.
"Pshaw! Of course not, my boy,"
Heimerdinger replied, giving Echo a tired smile over his shoulder as he waved at them all to step back.
"Who do you think I am?"
And there was a twinkle in the old Yordle's eye that had Echo backpedaling quickly and dragging his firelights along with him. He barely made it to the back of the hall before Heimerdinger reached into his jacket and stepped back as he threw something out in front of him. A flash of blue nearly blinded them all, and when it faded, Echo was left to goggle at the enormous turret that was suddenly filling most of the hall, with Heimerdinger standing beside it, looking particularly proud.
"It's smaller than the diagram,"
Heimerdinger remarked as he looked it up and down.
"Professor?" Echo called.
Heimerdinger looked back at him and grinned in a way that, of all things, reminded him of Jinx.
"I advise you all to stay back. I've never tested this prototype outside of the rift before, which means we're all about to witness true science."
As he spoke, the turret started to cycle up. Sections of it began to glow and spit blue, hex-electric sparks, while capacitor pylons extruded from the main body to begin charging.
"Yo, Professor! Is it supposed to smell like that?"
"All within acceptable parameters, I assure you."
"You sure?"
Before he could answer, several gouts of steam burst from beneath the core paneling, sending one panel exploding off of the turret's main body and ricocheting down the hall. The firelights threw themselves to the floor as Heimerdinger's oversized turret began to make the kind of whine that Echo only ever heard before something exploded, and sure enough, a moment later,
"Risks have been reassessed. Turret output has exceeded theoretical capacity. It's gone mad!"
Heimerdinger turned and sprinted away, and Echo swore as he scrabbled to his feet and did the same. Several floors above the panopticon, Jinx cackled as she unleashed a blizzard of high-velocity rounds down the hallway. She couldn't just hold the trigger like usual, though. The HV rounds that Victor had provided for her heated Pow-Pow up like nobody's business. They also hammered blackguards into the wall, though, and ablated their armor, external and otherwise, into nothing within seconds.
"Come on, come on, come on! That's all you got?"
Jinx crowed as she swept Pow-Pow over a section of makeshift cover that the Khadra had put up. It was no cover at all to her. The rounds went straight through the thin plates of metal and soldiers behind them, riddling the wall at the end of the hall with holes. Beside Jinx, Lux advanced like a luminous walking castle, with thick, Angled planes of light projected in front of her from her left hand, serving as her walls, while her right hand spat sharp white spears of light that cored through Kadra armor like wet tissue paper. Behind them, the Glasgardi wardsmen were giving a good accounting of themselves, despite the Kadra's ham-fisted attempts at a flanking maneuver. Renata stood in their midst, barking orders and occasionally taking some poor bastard's head off with a shot from her oversized revolver. Then a blackguard came around the back corner at them, and before Jinx could swivel Pow-Pow around to take care of him, Renata battered her vanguard of Glasgardi out of the way with her gun hand as her other came up and then warped. The delicate-looking pale metal unraveled like a ball of yarn while still somehow keeping its overall shape as a clawed hand, just much, much bigger. Renata's arm stretched down the hall and wrapped its fingers around the blackguard, gripped tight, and then yanked it off its feet and slammed it against the adjacent wall. Again and again and again, Renata battered him. Then she pinned him to the floor before walking calmly over to the struggling cyborg, jamming her pistol against the base of its neck and firing twice. The blackguard twitched, then went still.
"Worthless wretch!"
Renata turned away and let her Glasgardi mop up what was left of the Kadra as she returned to the front.
"You think Victor can make my arm do that?"
Jinx asked as Renata passed her.
"No.
She's just asking."
"Any word from the other teams?" Lux called over her shoulder as she put down two more Kadra who were trying to retreat. They dropped to the hallway floor with holes seared through where their hearts would have been. Renata shook her head.
"Logos is an intelligence organization, my dear Lady Light. There's no chance we'll be able to use our comms in this place without broadcasting everything. We can only trust they'll do their jobs. That is what a good employer does."
But an explosion rocked the entirety of Stillwater before Lux could finish her reply. She shot a worried look at Jinx, who just shrugged and said,
"Pretty sure that was one of ours."
"How do you know?" Lux asked.
"Because Pilties are allergic to blowing their own stuff up."
Jinx grinned and flashed a look at Renata.
"They don't get that sometimes to build something, you gotta break something else."
"Too true,"
Renata said quietly. Then more loudly added,
"Keep advancing, Lady Light, Kenlord. We're almost to the main lift, and I suspect the resistance will only worsen. Camille will be trying to delay us as much as possible."
Jinx huffed as she angled Pow-Pow back down the hall.
"You heard her, Blondie. Let's light 'em up."
"My specialty," Lux replied.
"Spare me."
Several floors down, Echo was pushing himself up off the floor from where he'd huddled over Heimerdinger while the rest of his firelights did the same. The worst of them was a little more than slightly crispy, and Echo let out a loud sigh as he stood and brushed himself off. "With friends like this," Echo muttered as he flicked on his chronobreaker, "who needs enemies?" Heimerdinger sat up and shook his head dazedly.
"Interesting. I wonder if something didn't quite reform right from its minimized state. I'll have to test that later."
"Yeah, you do that. But like, outside of the city, maybe?"
Echo said as he moved forward, waving his hands to clear the smoke and holding up his cudgel. There was no answering gunfire, though. Was the door still sealed? Kicking his way through the sea of scrap metal and the smoldering remains of Heimerdinger's experimental turret, Echo emerged from the smoke cloud to find that near-impossible barrier reduced to glowing, runny slag.
"Damn, well, if it works, it works,"
Echo sighed as he dropped low and hopped over the cooling metal slurry into the panopticon, his finger on the trigger of the rewinder in case he encountered the business end of a Pilty carbine.
"Oh dear,"
Heimerdinger said softly as he poked his head in.
"It seems the overpenetration was quite high."
"You think?"
Echo said dully. Whatever the turret had fired, it had not only passed through the door, but also obliterated the main console before drilling into the far wall. There wasn't a single piece of functional machinery left in the panopticon, nor was there anyone left alive, and Heimerdinger was looking quite distraught.
Oh my.
He stepped back and swallowed audibly.
"I suppose this room must have been hermetically sealed, and the blast likely caused some..."
Another ragged swallow.
"Thermal displacement."
"Thermal displacement's a word for it,"
Echo remarked as he pulled out his mask and fitted it, mostly to filter out the smell.
"Well, I think I'm going to go outside and be sick."
"You do that," Echo replied. "I'll try and figure out what parts of this rig into the main security system. Once I do, well, I'm sorry, Professor, but you're going to have to get your hands dirty." Heimerdinger stopped halfway through the door and looked back at him with a pained grimace.
"Don't worry about that, my boy. My hands are plenty dirty already."
Rubbing the back of his neck, Ecker looked over the ruin of the Panopticon once more before calling for his crew. There wasn't a single one of them that didn't know their way around scrap, and this place was nothing if not scrap. Fortunately, the only thing that was a total loss was the center console, which was probably a command unit, and would have been nice, but was probably also locked out for anyone but Camille. The rest of the consoles that lined the interior wall of the command unit were damaged, but not completely destroyed. Even better, it was all labeled.
"Guess they never figured anyone but a clanner would be in here, huh?"
Ecker remarked as he wiped a smudge of something greasy from the console face, revealing a small embossed line of text that read, "Fourth Quadrant Optics." His firelights were throwing aside the remains of the command operators, tossing what was left of them to the floor, and pulling out rags to wipe down the consoles, while a few others pulled out toolkits to start prying off panels to get at the wiring.
"Find me anything that says security," Ecker ordered. "Anything that might control the lockdown of this place. And find it pronto. We may have all the time in the world, but Sarah doesn't."
A chorus of shouts answered him, and Ecker turned back to start following his own orders. Caitlin's rifle barked and put down yet another one of her own people. Another Piltoven quadraman was sent to an early grave. Each time it happened, she felt as though a tiny weight had settled on her heart, and now that weight had grown to something choking.
"Forgive me,"
she whispered as she pulled the trigger again and sent another to the beyond.
"Forgive me."
Another.
"Forgive me."
And another. The lowest level was a massive, vaulted tunnel that encircled the foundations of Stillwater, and Vi was leading them around to where she remembered the Dark Yard being. On their way, they'd encountered an emplaced group of quadramen, just quadramen, no blackguards. The only thing that Caitlin could think was that they were truly at the end of their rope. Whatever the case, she had hoped the Chondra would surrender, but either they were too indoctrinated by Camille's clan, or maybe they thought they had a chance because they outnumbered their enemies. As if 10 Chondra stood even a ghost of a chance against 3 seasoned champions of the Rift. Vi and Jace had surged forward, protected by powerful Hextech barriers projected from their fists and hammer respectively, absorbing the hail of incoming fire before demolishing the cover, peeling it open for Caitlin to start picking them off. And she had done it. For all that it made her sick to her stomach, she had done her duty. Everyone here had chosen their side, one way or the other. And even if they hadn't, the fact of the matter was that she did not have time to sort them out. Every second that ticked by was another second that might see Camille begin whatever horrible, bastardized ascension process she was planning. No amount of death here would even come close to equaling the devastation that would be wrought by a monster like Camille acquiring the power of an aspect. All it had taken to reduce a quarter of Piltover to ruin had been 2 half-backed aspects throwing fists. They hadn't even been trying to damage the city. The city had been God's damned collateral.
"Forgive me,"
Camille whispered as she put the last one down and finally lowered her rifle, her chest hollow with bitterness as she closed in with her allies.
"Not the last of them?"
Vaud asked, looking back at Jace, who just shrugged.
"Must be," he said. "If there were any more down there, they'd have come running and we'd hear them."
He gestured around the wide-open ceiling. "Even a quiet footstep would echo here. Either they're finally out of reinforcements on this level, or whatever's left is keeping their heads down." Caitlin quietly hoped it was the latter. At least that meant there was some sanity left in the Chondra. If not, then, well, it didn't really matter, did it?
Not anymore.
"Let's go,"
Caitlin said grimly.
"No need," Vi said,
pointing past Caitlin at the central pillar they'd been walking around. Turning to follow her wife's gesture, she found herself staring at a massive pair of blast doors.
"We're here,"
Jace sighed.
"Great, now what?"
"Now?" Vi looked back at the pair of them.
"We hope little man and the professor can find us a key, or this whole fucking operation's been for nothing."
"They'll find it,"
Caitlin said as she sat down and laid her rifle over her lap to start cleaning it. She might as well be ready for the end when it came.
"If there's one person who I believe could dismantle anything in this damned city, it's Professor Heimerdinger and Necco's no slouch."
Vi settled down beside her, released the latch on her gauntlet, and let it clang to the ground before reaching out to put a hand on Caitlin's knee.
"We did everything we could to stop it from getting here. We're just 2 people, though, Cupcake."
And we're not even gods.
I'm not sure even gods could fix this city.
Kitlin replied in a raw voice as she shoved an oiled rag down her rifle's barrel on the end of a pole.
No gods, just men, Jace said quietly. Good men and women can fix this city.
Kitlin snorted derisively up at him.
And how do you know that? Pray tell, because I don't see it. I don't know how anymore.
Chuckling thinly, Jace planted the butt of his hammer against the floor and looked back at her, and that boyish charm was back. For all that she blamed him, Kitlin had missed her childhood friend.
Normal men and women are the ones who broke this city, he said. We broke a little bit of it off each time we broke our promises to the people, to ourselves, to progress, to the ethos. We're the ones who broke it. And so I have to believe that if normal people can break something like the golden ideals of progress, then that means that normal people can also fix it.
There it was. That sheer confidence in his voice, in spite of everything, that look on his face. It was like he was 10 years younger, and still the idealistic engineer who had invented Hextech. Ironically, Kitlin found herself wishing that he never had. That he had just spent his time making hammers. He was too much of an inventor for that, though. He never could have stopped at just hammers, but the belief in his voice, there was something real there.
And maybe, he continued, looking over at Vi, your sister was right. Maybe there's too much rot to fix it all right away. Maybe something needs to be burned out. I just know that it has to be someone else.
Not it, Vi said wanly.
Kitlin couldn't help but start laughing, and Jace followed her, adding his deep, baritone chuckles to her own. Soon the empty, vaulted halls of Stillwater's foundations were filled with the alien sound of laughter. It only lasted a moment before the sound of grinding gears cut them off, and Kitlin looked up to find the locking mechanisms for the blast door spinning up and pulled apart.
"That's it, little man!"
Vi cheered.
"Well, I'll be..." Jace murmured as he turned and hefted his hammer, cycling up the core as he braced himself.
Kitlin stood, her rifle cleaned, ready, and resting against her shoulder.
"Let's end this," she said quietly. "For my mother."
"For Vander," Vi said quietly.
Jace blew out a grim breath, then leveled his hammer at the opening door.
"This one's for you, Mal."
They advanced toward the open, yawning gate, and Kitlin steeled herself for the last push, because whatever happened, it would end here, tonight, one way or the other.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.